This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And this is the Toastmasters Podcast. Something interesting happened today.
What's that, Beau?
I went down to my mailbox. I got the Toastmasters magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I was flipping through it. And guess who had an article published in there? One, Mr. Ryan Levesque.
Wow.
So, of course, we have to talk about this article on this podcast.
Sure.
So I'm very honored to be speaking to my co-star of the Toastmasters podcast, Mr. Ryan Levesque. And for the first time, why don't we have the guest introduce himself since you're so good at the introductions? Who are you, Ryan?
My name is Ryan Levesque, Toastmaster from Massachusetts and co-host of the Toastmasters podcast.
What do you do for a living? What keeps you busy every day?
What keeps me busy? I guess working on the task list you give me over at ebookit.com, a company we've been running together for, I guess, about a year now.
All right. Well, besides that, of course, you've been a Toastmaster for how long now?
Oh, geez. I guess it's been over 8 years.
Over 8 years. So you have some experience in this Toastmaster field.
A little bit.
Right. And certainly enough for Toastmasters International to look at your article and say, wow, this is a good article. We are going to publish it. So congratulations on that.
Now
that
I just slipped a little extra in my dues check.
That works.
And this is for the article. And to print it.
Yeah. By the way, if you know that article I submitted, I think you'll like it after you get this check.
Right.
All right, so the article is about the copycat method. Can you sum this up in about 5 minutes or less?
Go. I think I can. All right, so the whole point of the article is that by imitating talented speakers, Toastmasters can raise their own level of performance as well as discover their own unique style over time.
Okay.
So this is all done through the framework of what I call the copycat method. And it's really just a way of incorporating qualities of your favorite speaker into your speech. So I've broken it down into 5 steps.
Okay. Well, that's probably good. Let's talk about each step. Take one at a time.
Sure. The first step is simply to just think of a speaker that you admire. It could be someone from your club, someone from your district, a coworker. Could be someone famous, a professional speaker.
Perhaps your favorite podcast host.
It could be your favorite podcast host, I suppose. Yes. So that's step one.
Okay.
Pretty simple. You get that person in your mind. And then step two is to take the speech project that you're working on and then enter the workshop of your mind and imagine your favorite speaker giving your speech as if he or she was tasked with giving that speech.
Okay.
So as you're watching this presentation in your mind's eye, you want to focus on 3 different areas. The first would be the physical presence of your favorite speaker, their facial expressions, their posture, their body language, their use of the stage, gestures, those sorts of things. And the second is their voice, the volume, speed, and pitch that they employ in their speaking. And the third is the words that your favorite speaker uses and avoids, for that matter. So are they painting vivid word pictures? Are they avoiding the ahs and the ums? Are they employing the repetition of keywords and phrases, those sorts of things? So that's step two. You with me so far?
I'm with you so far.
All right.
I'm writing these down.
Okay, good. So step three would be to choose 2, 3, or 4 of the things that you saw your favorite presenter do that you'd like to incorporate into your own speech. And then you go back into your mental movie theater and watch the speech again. But this time it's you giving your speech, incorporating those few qualities that you want to add into your own speaking style.
Okay.
All right. On to step 4. Now that you've visualized it, you want to actually practice your speech exactly as you want to give it in front of an audience. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of holding back in this area. I'm practicing my speech and, you know, my family's in the other room. But, you know, you got to get beyond that. You can't hold back. You just got to lock yourself in the bedroom and give the full force of all your enthusiasm, your energy, and really try to simulate that speaking environment as though you're actually on stage. If you make a mistake, just push through, keep going.
You know what I do? I turn on the radio to make some background noise.
That's a good idea. So they're like, what's that crazy guy?
Because otherwise, I exactly like you said, I'm very uncomfortable.
Right.
Thinking about my family listening to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. Put the radio on. So step five is finally, once it's time to actually give your speech, you want to think of the confidence of your favorite speaker, the person you've been trying to emulate. Pretend you're that person, just bursting with excitement to get on the stage and share your message, and then get on the stage and rock it.
Gotcha.
And that's all there is to it.
So if the person that you're trying to emulate is like Woody Allen, do you have to do the Woody Allen voice?
Well, I'd say probably not. I mean, there are certain things. If you're, like for me, for example, I'm Caucasian. If I were trying to emulate Martin Luther King, I would not be emulating his voice and speech pattern that's culturally different than mine.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I'd say not that. You want to focus on other qualities.
All right.
Yeah. So just like if you're emulating, if my favorite speaker's a woman, I'm not going to, hi, everybody, my name's right. Brian Levesque. You know, gotcha. That'd be a little awkward.
So you're doing more of an impersonation as opposed to an impression of the person.
I would say so. Yeah, you're kind of trying to assimilate and put on the qualities of that gotcha. Person in their speaking style.
Okay. Now, there's one thing that bothers me a little bit, and I'm sure our listeners will be sharing some of this concern. My mother always taught me, Bo, be yourself, and if people don't like you, that's their problem. Ryan, are you calling my mother a liar?
I'm not about to disrespect your mama or anyone else's mama. really, the point of all of this is, you know, we so often hear in Toastmasters and other areas of life as well, these well-meaning, lofty platitudes of be yourself, be original, just be natural. Right. But what happens if you're a new Toastmaster and being natural means a bucket of nerves clutching the lectern like it's about to fly off the table?
Sweating bullets.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of us join Toastmasters because we're tired of being ourselves and we wanted to be someone else, someone who could get up and confidently deliver a speech.
Right, right. And that whole thing with be yourself, you know, how do you know what yourself actually is? And I think that's what you're trying to say. It's just kind of a flowery way of wording when people don't want to change or when people should change
right.
the whole thing. But yeah, basically what you want to do is you want to improve yourself. I mean, that's why we're on Toastmasters. And by doing this, by emulating the qualities of other people, that's certainly a strong way of doing that. And that's kind of what your whole article's about.
It is. And I think you have to find yourself if you're going to be yourself. And a way to find yourself is to experiment with different techniques, different styles and approaches. Try them on, see which ones fit, which ones feel right or kind of mesh with your personality, and then which ones you want to discard. So, I mean, obviously, you know, most of us as adults, we've found ourselves to some extent. But if you're new to speaking, you may not have found your platform persona.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about here.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. I'm with you so far.
Good.
It's working. Good, good. So how is the stand and deliver technique any different from the fake it till you make it?
Okay. When I think of fake it till you make it, what I think of is the guy who is trying to build his career by charging exorbitant fees for his seminar on how to be filthy rich, and meanwhile he can't pay the mortgage.
Okay.
Right. So there's kind of a negative connotation there.
All right, sure.
With the copycat method, you're not actually trying to trick anyone into thinking you're someone you're not.
Right.
What you're trying to do is use a mental trick to give yourself permission to act the part, to appropriate some of these aspects of your favorite speaker. And that the specific mental trick is that if you're just testing out this style, if this is just pretend to an extent, and if things don't work out as great as you hoped they would, then you're off the hook, right? Because, hey, you know, I was just kind of pretending, just trying this out. So, and, you know, there's no shame in imitating the masters. I don't know how many artists over the year that over the years have started as apprentices. They imitated the masters, and along the way they developed their own style. And that's exactly what I'm advocating. But, you know, I was thinking about it earlier this morning, and I thought, look, if you're a singer and you can knock off Andrea Bocelli, you know,
you can imitate him, right?
I mean, even kind of if people are only going to half buy it, I mean, that's some serious talent. So
sure,
you know, shoot for the
shoot for the stars and get the moon.
Yeah,
and you're doing okay.
Hackneyed expression, but
right.
You know,
is it okay to copy certain traits of several different speakers? For example, if you like the Martin Luther King method, but you also like, say, a comedian, even though the two might not completely go together, is it okay to take pieces and parts of each one to make your own style? Or should you really just concentrate on sticking with one speaker to emulate?
Well, I think initially it's probably going to be less confusing if you just stick with one person that you're trying to emulate.
Because going back to what you were saying with the whole visualization technique and thinking about that, it's like, all right, wait, how do you get two people and put them together and think about them giving a speech?
Steve Martin and Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa, what would that look like?
Yeah. How would they deliver one unified speech?
Right. But I would say that some of those qualities, as you're, let's say we are emulating Steve Martin even,
right,
in your speech, and so you're working on some humorous aspects or aspects of his delivery, you may incorporate those into your own style. And so then when you move on to Martin Luther King Jr., you know, you've got a little Steve Martin in you too.
Yeah, I see that.
So
that would be kind of cool. So, Ryan, personally, which speaker do you try to emulate? Or which speakers, given the last question?
You know, there's been a lot of speakers that I've found qualities in that I've tried to bring into my own speeches. And my whole kind of discovery of this method, if you want to call it that, sounds very lofty, doesn't it? Started when I had gone, let me back up. I was going to be giving a speech in the club contest the next day. And I got an email that Darren LaCroix was going to be speaking at a public library locally. So I made the drive to go see him. It was the first time I'd seen him. I heard about him before. And he gave a workshop that evening, presentation. And I had been so excited to give my speech the next day. But after I saw Darren, I was like, oh no, I cannot in good conscience give this speech the way I planned it. My really pulled gesture where I moved my arm like 2 inches and that dramatic part where I really got loud, you know, I was like, no, I'm not bringing it here. So I totally scrapped my speech and reworked the speech with Darren in mind, thinking, you know, how would he give the speech? What would it look like? And that's when I did, you know, the visualization process and whatnot. Hmm. So that's really... You know, it's kind of the first time that I intentionally used this method. And then, like I said, along the way, I've seen qualities in other, you know, people or been in situations where I thought, how would this person, you know, act in this situation? So,
yeah, I'm thinking where this could come in very handy is while watching the World Championship videos.
Mm.
Because there you're seeing the best of the best.
That's right. Yeah.
Over many different years. So just watching a few of those and saying, oh, I like this guy or I like this woman. I like how they do that.
Right.
And then just, like you said, pick one to start with and then maybe take notes of, I like how this speaker uses their gestures, but
right,
I like how this other speaker uses voice control.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of put it all together. It's like
definitely
like making your own custom robot. You know, you take all the little pieces together.
A little smorgasbord of fantastic speaking qualities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know of any famous speakers who actually do this technique? Or have you heard of this technique in any other fields either? Like maybe like in acting, do actors do this?
In the article, I share a anecdote from the International Convention 2 years ago where Todd Newton was the keynote speaker. And he said something, I'll just quote it here because it was a pretty funny line. He said, I'm glad Tony Robbins isn't here tonight because you'd be looking at me like I was a cheap cutout carbon copy of him. So here he is telling this whole entire audience of Toastmasters that he's watched Tony Robbins for years and decided to emulate the things that Tony Robbins did to make him a successful speaker.
Any final words, Ryan, on this?
Yes, I guess the message I'd like to leave with our listening audience is to think of your Toastmasters less like a Toastmasters club and think of it more as a learning laboratory. Any scientist who's worked in the laboratory and conducted experiments will tell you that the experiments don't always work. We all know the example of Thomas Edison, right?
Right.
And trying to get a light bulb that works. So similarly, all of your experiments in your club may not always work, but if you're a dues paying member, then think of yourself like a scientist renting some some lab space to conduct your experiments. Bo, as you know, my wife worked for a biotech company, a very successful Fortune 500 company, for 12 years as a researcher. And the vast majority of her experiments failed. Now you know why she doesn't work there anymore. No. I mean, she worked obviously on a very talented team. She's very talented herself, but it's just kind of the nature of the business that the vast majority of the research department's experiments failed.
Right.
But the few that worked helped this company create pharmaceuticals that made them a very successful company. So really, I guess what I want people to do is to go into the lab, mix together some dangerous chemicals, blow some stuff up, have fun. And I think you'll find you'll grow along the way. And over time, you'll discover your own unique special formula.
All right. Well, with that wonderful ending, let's leave it on that note. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being with us on the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's
how does it feel to be on that side of the desk?
Very strange. It's strange to be on the other side, but it was fun.
Yeah, figuratively speaking, of course, because physically speaking, you're always on
that's
the other
true.
Side.
Yeah, there, right? That's true.
Well, good. I'm glad you had fun. Thanks, everybody, for listening in to the Toastmasters podcast. Until next time, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.